This morning to the book of Proverbs, as we continue in our series through Proverbs. And time my message here this morning, the secret room of my heart, the secret room of my heart. Verse 10 of Proverbs chapter 14 says, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and strangers does not intermeddle with his joy or share with his joy." Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, as we look at this portion of Scripture this morning and this thought of the secret rooms of our hearts, Lord, I pray that you'd guide our thoughts here this morning. I pray you bring glory and honor to yourself. And Father, you search each heart. You know what's on the inside, God. You know us better than we know ourselves, Lord. And Father, I thank you, you're a good God. Father, help me bring glory and honor to your holy name. Be a vessel that honors your Son and your word. And I pray for fruit among your people here this morning. I pray for eye openers. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand our own hearts. So, Lord, bless us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 10 here says, "The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger does not share with his joy." You know, there's a secret place of all of us on the inside. On our core value on the inside of us. Now, when you meet somebody and they're looking at you and you're looking at them, all they know is what you're saying and your body language, you're communicating. But some of us are really good on putting on an external type of greeting or presentation. But internally, we can be a totally different person. Now, to follow that thought out a little bit, do parents ever name their child Judas? Would many parents name their child Judas in the Bible? Not many. Some might, but not many. Now, what was on the internal side of his heart? What kind of man was he on the inside? Now, externally, he put on a pretty good show, because when Jesus said in the Last Supper, he said, "One of you shall betray me." And they all looked at each other. They said, "Is it I? Is it I?" They couldn't pick Judas out because he had the external down good. The secret chambers of our heart, you know, who are we on the inside, and where are we on the inside? Because what's on the inside is going to eventually show on the outside. Because for Judas, it eventually came out, because when he had the chance to betray the Lord, he betrayed him for how many pieces of silver? 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. That's what he betrayed the Lord. Now, what's on the inside is going to come out on the outside eventually. I heard one person describe it like this. You know, some people, they're good at pressing things on the inside. It's like, you ever have a balloon and you squeeze a balloon, and if I squeeze it, you ever had it like pop out between your fingers or up this way, and you can push it in, but guess what? It pops out somewhere else and you push in. That's how people are on the inside. Because when you squeeze them, whatever's on the inside is going to pop out somewhere. It's going to come out, and you can push it down, but it's going to be there. What we want to make sure, the heart knoweth his own bitterness. What you've gone through in your life, nobody knows your own bitterness. Now, somebody once said this, what's the difference between sympathy and empathy? There is a huge difference. Sympathy says, I see your pain. I feel sorry for you. Empathy says, I know your pain. I've been there. That's what empathy is. You can have sympathy and you can have empathy. When you have your own bitterness in your own heart, that is something that is your own. A stranger does not share with his joy. These are very personal things for you. It's your own sorrow, your own bitterness. your own joy. That's what's on the inside of you. It's very personal. Your own heart, your own life. As we live our lives here, the heart knows its own bitterness. What you've gone through, that's your story. That's your life. That's who you are. But it's what you do with your life and those bitter experiences. Life will either make you bitter or it'll make you better. It's just what do you do with it? Because this inner chamber of our heart, what's on the inside, we've got to be careful how we meditate on things and chew on things on the inside. Now, can Satan put thoughts into your mind? Sure he can. When the Sabaeans came and took away all of Job's camels, and Satan was going to afflict Job, how did the Sabaeans know to do that? Well, Satan had to obviously put it in their mind, on this such and such day, they're going to come and take Job's camels. Don't tell me that Satan can't put thoughts into people's minds. They can. He can do that. But what do you do with those thoughts? See, the inner person of who we are, the Bible says, guard your heart with all what? Diligence. For out of it comes the issues of life, and you want to guard your heart. That inner person that's within you, you want to guard that because Satan is shooting his arrows at you all the time. Now, what's an arrow Satan might shoot at you? See, if Satan says to you, you're a failure, there's a difference between you're a failure and I have failed. So you can fail at something, but that doesn't make you a failure. But what if Satan convinced you you're a failure? How do you see yourself then? On that inner chamber of your heart, how do you see yourself then? That's huge. Because if Satan can get you to the point of no hope, no future, nothing's good's going to happen in my life. There's some young people, and it's so sad. Whenever I hear of a young person taking their life, I just think, that is so sad. They had their whole life ahead of them. I remember hearing a story of a young person one time, jumped off a bridge. And as they were going down, they thought this thought. Now, the reason we know he thought this thought, because he survived, okay? He said this, he jumped, he didn't kill himself. But he thought when he was falling, he goes, everything in my life is reversible except this last decision. And I thought, that is really true. Because with God's help, it's reversible or changeable. When he hit the water, he didn't die. But that was, I thought was interesting, his last thought, he realized. See, that inner chamber of our heart, we want to be so careful. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. A stranger does not share with his joy. Well, look down in verse 13 here. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And at the end of that, mirth is heaviness. Now, let's look at this verse here a minute. How do people feel? Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. What is that saying? For some people, they can be laughing on the outside, but they're crying on the inside because they got this pain in their heart. They got this situation in their heart. They can be smiling on the outside, but on the inside, they got this secret chamber of their heart that is overwhelming to them. Verse 13, even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. And end of that mirth, that joyful time is heaviness. Because you get distracted from your pain and all of a sudden you turn back and it's still there. You go to some event and it's very distracting and it gets your attention and it makes you laugh. But then you turn around and that secret chamber of your heart, it's still there. And that pain is still there. That heartache is still there. That loneliness is still there. That grieving is still there. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. Can that be? Absolutely can be. Absolutely. The thing about our heart is sometimes we may have an event and it may happen in our life, but there's a question you can ask yourself. If you're going down a road that is discouraging, ask yourself this question. Is it true? Now, it may be true that in this event it happened, but then second part is it true all the time? Is it true all the time? Because, yeah, it's true this happened here, but is it true all the time? And that can put a whole different perspective on things. You know, how does God feel about us? Does God search the heart? What does God say about our heart? Jeremiah 17:9. Help me, if you know this verse, Jeremiah 17:9, say it with me. The heart is what? Deceitful above all things, and what? Desperately wicked. What's the last part of that verse? Who can know it? Now, what is that telling us about our own heart? The secret chamber of our heart, who can know it? What you want to make sure is, if you diagnose yourself, you do it through God's word and not your own inner thinking. Because if you're letting your own heart diagnose the secret chamber of your heart, where you're at spiritually and where you're at in your life, see, what you want to do is filter through God's word, because a heart is deceitful, and your heart can take you in a place you don't want to be and make you think thoughts you don't want to think and keep you in bondage where you don't want to be. And who can know it? God knows our heart, and God knows how we think. And he can bring us deliverance and help through this time. The next verse, Jeremiah 17:10, says this, I, the Lord, search the heart. Now, 17:9 says, heart is desperately wicked. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Now, the reins of the heart. What are reins for on a horse? What do reins do on a horse? Guides it, makes it turn left, makes it turn right, pull back, whoa, boy, let him out, giddy up. You know, that's the reins. I, the Lord, try the reins. Your heart, you know what God's doing? Sometimes he pulls on your heart a little bit. What's in your heart? He pulls at it a little bit. I test the reins of the heart. Next verse says, after Jeremiah 17:9, I give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So, this secret chamber of our heart, we want to make sure that we have good things in there. Now, Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your what? Your heart be also. Where is my heart at? What is my treasure? Your heart's going to be there. Matthew 12:34 says, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. You want to know what your heart's like? Listen to what somebody speaks. It shows what's on the inside. Turn here for a moment to Matthew 15:19. Matthew 15:19 says these words, for out of the heart proceeds, now this is the secret place of our hearts, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. That's what's in a man's heart. Now, I want to say something here this morning to us as God's people. What do you think about in your heart? In the secret chambers of your heart. Because see, sometimes we have this like idea that my thoughts are my thoughts and I think my thoughts and nobody knows what I'm thinking. But there's a God in heaven that knows what you're thinking. And what we don't want to do in the secret chambers of our hearts, our inner workings within ourselves, we don't want evil thoughts to be coming out of our hearts. We don't want murderous thoughts to be in our hearts, or adultery, or fornications. We don't want to think about stealing from people, thefts, or lying, bearing false witness, or blaspheming, saying injurious things about God. See, in this inner working of our heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, so what? So is he. And what you think about is eventually it's going to come out in your life. So what happens? Now, men, have you ever had bad thoughts in your mind? Absolutely. Women, have you ever had bad thoughts in your mind? Absolutely, we all do. But what do you do with that secret chamber of your heart? Do you monitor that? Now, Martin Luther said this, he can't keep the birds from flying over his head, but he won't let them make a nest in his beard. And what he was trying to say, these thoughts come into my mind, he can't stop them, but he doesn't let them stick in his heart. He doesn't let them go there. And what we want to do as God's people, we want to have a pure heart before him. We want to have a heart that loves God. Now, if you have a bad thought in your heart, something you think about, something comes into your mind, how should you deal with it? If you have a thought come in your mind and that wasn't a good thought, if I ever have a thought come in my mind, sometimes I just say, God, do you see that thought? Now, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Because I wanted to bring God into it. Do you see what I'm saying? I want to, recognize God's right here in my mind and my spirit. And the secret chamber of my heart, that's where God is too. Say, God, did you see that thought? Because see, what I want to do is, I don't want those thoughts to fester in me. Because you keep thinking evil thoughts and things that aren't right, guess what's going to happen? Eventually it's going to what? It's going to transfer from a thought to a what? Action. And from an action to a habit. And from a habit to a character. And from a character to a destiny. So where do you stop it? Right in the thoughts. In the secret chamber of our hearts. You deal with it right then. You nip it in the bud. Now, how many have pulled weeds from a garden? Anybody pulled weeds from your garden? Does your garden have weeds? Mine does. When is it better to pull a weed? When it's about this high or about this high? When's the best time to get it? When it's little? When's the best time to stop a bad thought? Right here. Right here. Now, God wants us to have a heart for him. Look at Matthew 22:37. And Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Now that secret chamber of your heart, that means every part of your heart that's on the inside of you, you're going to love God with. The thoughts I think now, men, is there temptation out in the world? Is there a lot of eye candy out there? You know what I'm saying? Is there a lot of eye candy? There is. So if you're in a place and there's some eye candy right there, you know what you do? You just bounce your eyes. If you see something, to love God with all my heart, I'm going to push away from that. I remember a truck driver one time, he shared this with me. He was at making a delivery and another truck driver came up and put his cell phone in front of his face and said, hey, look at this. And you know what he said? He said, get that junk out of here. See? He took control and he pushed that eye candy away. Because the problem is, if you let these things fester in your heart long enough, that secret chamber of your heart, guess what it's going to do? From a thought to an action, from an action to a habit, from a habit to a character, from a character to a destiny. And people wonder how they got way over here. And I guarantee you, if they had nipped it back here, they would have been better off. So what does God want us to do? Thou shalt love the Lord, thy God, with half your heart. Is that what it says? With all your heart. And with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, turn back here to Proverbs. Look at verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Now, what's verse 30 telling us? A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Your spiritual side and your physical side intersect. If you've got emotional struggles, spiritual issues in your life, can that affect you physically? Absolutely. People can have, now, what are some physical symptoms that may have spiritual roots? Colitis, heartburn, high blood pressure, headaches, backaches, insomnia. There's a myriad of physical problems that ultimately have their roots in a spiritual arena. Because a sound heart means a heart that you have kept your life pure and your mind pure, and that secret chamber of your heart is open to God. And a sound heart is a life of the flesh. That your physical body is blessed because your spiritual heart is right with God. If a person has a guilty conscience, and that conscience is beating you up, you know, our government has a fund called, I think it's called the Conscience Fund. People like in the military that have stolen stuff, and they write a check to the government 30 years later and saying, I stole this, and I just want to make it right before I die, and here's, you know, whatever, $200, whatever I stole. And they call that a conscience fund. People try to pay for things they've done wrong, stealing from the government in the past, and they just call it a that's what your conscience does. Now, if your conscience is beating you up and you can't sleep well at night, what is a pathway to get things right then? How do you deal with that then? What's 1 John 1:9 say? If you what? Confess your sins. If you confess them, you can be made right. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 30 is huge here. Sound heart is a life of the flesh. If you want to be healthy physically, you keep a sound heart. The rest of verse 30 says, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. You take a person that's eaten up with envy and jealousy, hatred, all these interrelated, you know, that's to eat you up. It's like acid. You're just pouring acid on yourself. It's eating you up. That secret chamber of our heart, who are we on the inside? What's on the inside is eventually going to come out on the outside. You know, in the chambers of our hearts, for some people, they have been pretty broken by life, for some people, in the inner chamber of their hearts. They've been pretty broken. And, man, if you got a wife that's been just broken because of trust issues, you know, if a husband has a wife that men, from her father to all kinds of men, have done her wrong, and she has a real trust issue. Is that a reality? That is. And as men, you need to understand that in the secret chamber of her heart, she may be very sensitive to trust issues. And as husbands, as Peter says, you study your wife. You figure out what makes her tick. And if that's an issue for her, you know what you need to do in the secret chamber of her heart? You come alongside and you build her up and you build that trust up, and you don't do anything to betray her trust, because the minute you do, you have that secret chamber of her heart where she's struggling, because rightfully so, because men have broken her trust. You need to study your wife, and you don't do anything that breaks that trust issue that she has. You try to study her. Because in the chamber of her heart, that may be what she's dealing with. Verse 33, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that has understanding. Wisdom rests. You know, people can have heart issues that are deep. And what we need to do, if we got a husband that maybe he's tried to go in business for himself and it just failed over, and maybe he feels like he can't do anything in right life, you know what a wife needs to do? Be his cheerleader and encourage him and help him to have wisdom. Because these secret places of our heart are there. We don't want any sin in the secret chambers of our heart. We don't want anything that's not of God in there. But there are some wounded hearts that need strength and encouragement and understanding. You know, God's a faithful God. God says in the Gospels, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. What does that mean? In the secret chamber of your heart, if you can be broken on the inside, God is the one that can heal that for you. God is the one that can take and put those broken pieces back together again. God says, I make all things new again. We want to have a sound heart, and we want to have a heart that God honors God. Friday, my wife and I went out with some friends, and they shared a story about a pastor my wife and I knew, and pastor for 35 years fell into immorality, and we talked about that. And I thought about this, you know, somewhere in to myself, I thought somewhere in the secret chamber of his heart, he held some thoughts that were not godly thoughts. And the thoughts he held first were a thought, and then it became an action, which became a habit, which became a character, which shaped a destiny. Now, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is what? Deceitful. Know your heart. Don't make any provision for the flesh. You make no provision for the flesh. What you want to do is put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust thereof. Because our heart is deceitful. Know your own heart. But within that, if you have a broken heart in some kind of way, know that there's a God that loves you, that cares about you, that has a future for you, and will be there for you, that knows and understands. Because that's our God. He's a faithful God. Well, let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we, as your people, Lord, have looked at this topic of the secret chambers of our heart. And I pray, Lord, that we would evaluate where we are with you, God. And Lord, may we never entertain any thoughts that are ungodly, unrighteous, but that, Lord, that in all of our ways we might acknowledge you, that you might direct our paths. And Father, you search the heart and the reins of the heart, and you know what's in us, God. And Father, I pray we guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it becomes the issues of life. So, Lord, bless us toward this end and help us as your people. And, Lord, those that have wounded hearts, I pray that we'd be ever wise and sensitive, whether it's our spouse, whether it's friends or family members, that we'd know how to help the brokenhearted. And, Lord, as you said, you'd heal the brokenhearted. Lord, you're able to set the captives free and to be there for people. So, Lord, we love you and thank you for being our God and for searching us and knowing our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.